now plugged in to the Delphi podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Delphi podcast. I'm Tom Shaughnessy, and I help lead Delphi Ventures, as well as host some of the most in-the-weeds and thought-provoking guests across crypto, spanning Layer 1s to DeFi, NFTs, and beyond. The goal is to have fun, but also to dive deep and offer foundational episodes on projects and founders. Also, check out our research on Delphi Digital or miss out on the most compelling research there is. It's up to you. As a reminder, nothing said on this podcast is a solicitation to buy or sell any security or token or to make any financial decisions. Delphi Ventures may hold tokens mentioned, so check out our transparency page in the show notes for more info. With that, let's dive in. See you guys on the other side. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Delphi's Web3 series. I just hung up with Jess Sloss, who's the chief instigator at Seed Club, which is a social token incubator focused on the Web3 space. We had a great conversation about what Web3 means to him. He had a big focus on the superpowers that tokens give to both creators and to community members. We went into a lot of projects that Seed Club has helped incubate. You might know some, such as Pool Suite, which feels like traveling back in time to the 80s, or Krause House, which is trying to buy an NBA team. We covered Jump and a couple of others. We also talked about how Seed Club scales and how it attracts mentors to help build these projects in a sustainable way. Jess also talked a lot about the challenges that founders face building in the space. So we talked about tooling that could be used to help these founders build their projects, pitfalls that they may fall into and how to avoid them. And we talked about the new C Club cohort that club holders are voting to get into now. It was a great conversation. Jess works with a lot of very early stage projects. He sees literally the cutting edge of what we have to offer in Web3. So it was great to get a look under the hood on some of the projects that him, Ben, Nicole, and the entire team are helping. With that, let's jump into the episode. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Delphi podcast. Today, I am up with the second episode of our Web3 series with Jess Sloss, who's the instigator at Seed Club. Jess, how's it going?
What up, Tom? Great to be here.
Jess, it's your second appearance on the pod. Are you more or less excited? Hopefully more.
The nerves I had the first time have been replaced with just pure excitement for the conversation we're going to get into today.
I'm glad to hear it, man. Well, for those that missed the first episode, they are banned from listening to the Delphi podcast. But if not, give them a quick recap on who you are.
Sure. My name is Jess. I'm the co-creator of Seed Club. Seed Club is a DAO that builds and invests in Web3 communities. So we run an accelerator program that helps to launch novel, interesting creator DAOs, community DAOs, fun, interesting things where tokens intersect with communities.
Nice, man. And what exactly does that mean to people in crypto? Like, are people seeing these projects right now? Is it still kind of a process? What's the cadence for Seed Club? Like, where are you in your history?
Yeah, so Seed Club, I mean, we started as a Telegram chat a year and a half ago with 11 people. And today we're just about to choose our fourth cohort of projects. We have about 30 some odd projects that we've backed or been involved in bringing to the world in some way. And also run a studio. We've worked with projects like Pool Suite and Shiny Object Social Club and a couple others that have yet to be released. And of course have a large and growing community on our Discord, as everybody loves to hang out on Discord in Web3. So yeah, good chances if you've seen an interesting project at the intersection of DAOs, NFTs, and communities that we've had our fingers in and around there somewhere.
Pretty cool, man. I mean, my thesis historically has been that, like, the builders, the investors, it all has to be one, right? With Web3 building, and you know, whether you're in a fund, it's got to be either an internal or an external DAO, and you have to do a good job of linking in these builders with teams, right? I mean, and it seems like Seed Club is kind of the poster child for leaning into that, right? I mean, you have early teams coming to you, you have mentors who are builders in the space, and you put them together. Is that kind of a good summary of the approach?
Yeah, I think we like to think of Seed Club as a network. So like, what would an accelerator look like in the era of a network? And core to that is this idea of, you know, us representing people who create value within the Seed Club network as token holders and governors and members. And so at the core of the value we create is bringing great people and great projects together. And we give them ownership in Seed Club for helping to launch really great projects. And we're really excited to see that sort of flywheel start to build where, you know, the most interesting projects want to work with the best people, and the best people want to be involved in the most interesting projects. And increasingly we're seeing, you know, the best supporters and innovators and momentum builders for our projects being founders or leaders of communities that have come through previous cohorts. So I had a moment in our last cohort where I was looking for, just imagine what this is going to look like at cohort 10 or 20 or 30. And just thinking about the incredible group of people we'll have brought together and impact we'll have created through that, got me really excited.
Love that, man. So we've been opening up the series with trying to figure out what Web3 is, right? I'm sure you're inundated with, like, if you control find like your day, I'm sure you see Web3 probably mentioned 100 times with everything that you look at and all the teams you see. But I'm trying to get a good sense of what exactly it is and what it means to different people. You're in the weeds with early stage teams like nobody else. I mean, what would you give as your definition for, or just like your view on what exactly Web3 is?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think like the honest answer is Web3 is just a better evolved term for crypto, which is always, everything is like these words trying to capture the underlying intent, which I think is, you know, trying to rebuild some of the way value is created on the internet and ensure that those people who are, you know, most active or supporters of or involved with the creation of these networks, ensuring they have a say and an ownership stake in those networks. So I think, you know, Jesse Walden captures my belief and Web3 really well through this, his sort of piece on the ownership economy and how we've seen that evolve to touch so many different areas of the economy beyond just sort of infrastructure level stuff within the Web3 space. You know, we're most interested in how that touches the sort of level even above platforms, which is at communities, and how we can represent ownership and membership and voice and ensure that the people creating value on the internet are actually capturing it rather than just the platforms. So to me, Web3 is about ownership and membership and voice.
I love that, man. And I guess an obvious question for you is, you know, the people that come to you, the builders, you know, why don't they just start a, you know, why don't they just do like a raise, right? Why don't they just go to a VC and say, hey, you know what? I want to raise into my project. Is it that we're at an earlier stage of development for them? Or is it that they're unsure of the token? Or what's the culmination that leads them to come to Seed Club instead of going the traditional raise route?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a number of things. One, you know, many of these projects wouldn't be candidates for traditional venture-backed funding, right? So there's a number of, it's not to say all, we definitely have, I know it's hard to answer this question, it's because we've had a number of projects that have raised that have applied to be a part of Seed Club. So we see it all. But I think generally, these are new types of investable or backable asset classes. These are communities. You know, it's been powered by the growth of NFTs and of tokens more generally that allow groups of people to come together and sort of will into existence through their social capital and effort something of value that they can bring into the present and hopefully invest into the growth, into future growth. So one thing is, yeah, maybe venture capital wasn't quite available to them. For the growing number that I think capital is available to them, what they're seeing is that there's a whole bunch of new ways that they can actually go form that capital that don't require them to maybe take on outside investors or to only take on outside investors. You know, I think most of our, you know, our exciting projects are community based. And so they're looking for ways to ensure their communities are represented in the ownership or value graph as token holders. And so there's sort of this somewhat tension that exists maybe behind doing some early rounds there. And so when we see NFTs and we see crowdfunding and we see different mechanisms that actually allow teams to go directly to their community and raise from the community, that's often seen as a preference, at least early days. And so we're seeing a number of teams like, you know, Pool Suite, that a project we worked on that really just went to their early community members and said, hey, we're going to sell 2,500 NFTs, generated the first meaningful influx of cash into that business. And now they're off to the races doing a bunch of fun things. And yeah, lastly, I think there is this sense of uncertainty around how to go do this well, because there are so many different choices and there's a bunch of legal questions and structural questions. And also like how you bring together a community or you know, form capital actually has an impact on the type of community or token structure you might want to roll out. People don't want to mess it up. And so I think given all the number of options and the lack of clarity in the evolving landscape, it just makes sense to go to a place where there's just this growing network of human beings who are doing just this. You know, there's a number of teams that we've worked with in the past, and it looks like we'll work with over the next couple of months that have had offers from traditional funds or traditional accelerators, et cetera. And the reality is C Club is, you know, one of the few places where you can come and be a part of a community of builders who are building this weird thing only, right? Like you're not one DAO of 50 SaaS, enterprise SaaS products. When you come to be part of C Club, you are one of 20 DAOs or one of 15 DAOs that are trying to go be the best tokenized community they can possibly be. And it's a very different adventure to be on.
No, it totally is. I mean, it makes sense that you want these teams to be community owned, no pushback there. And the other thing I was thinking about was, I mean, people are coming to you with ideas and projects that are so both early and like evolutionary that I don't know if they would even be able to get the deal terms that would be fair to them as founders if they went to a team like, hey man, here's my project idea, you know, give me an attractive val. Like, it's really hard for a fund to basically accommodate that, unless they're obviously a pre-seed fund that is focused on that. But there's not that many out there that are aligned.
Well, I mean, that's where we were, you know, in January of last year. And so there's still a whole lot of proving to be done. But yeah, I think you're 100% right. Like, what has worked well is for these teams to actually really build momentum and to remove a lot of the uncertainty that might come from backing a new type of project, right? So if we look at like Songcamp is a great example of a project we've been working with for over a year now. You know, Matthew's idea there was like, what if we brought groups of people together to make music and then to mint those pieces as NFTs and then to return the value that was created by through that auction to the creators openly, transparently, and immediately, which was a big change to how the business model in music usually works. And, you know, we saw a ton of opportunity there, but the business model and the you know, it's a lot of uncertainty in whether they'd be able to execute. You know, and over the last year, Matthew's just continued to build a team and to experiment, and they're kicking off their third camp, which is, I think, called Camp Chaos, which, I mean, just going to be great from the name alone. And at this point, it becomes a lot easier for, you know, for VCs or for funders or angels to sort of see what's happening there, get a sense of what being a part of that community looks like, and are able to write checks. And I think he's getting a lot of traction because of the progress he's made.
No, totally, man. I want to dive into a couple of these projects, but one like fantastic question we got from Dan, who is from Zen Ledger, he's obviously a friend of both of ours, was, you know, what has changed, I guess, on your views from working with so many cohorts over time, right? I mean, like, you're at, you know, cohort 4 right now, and I'm sure your thesis on Web3 has changed, but also like the types of teams you're working with, the level of depth and knowledge that they have, the focus of their projects. There's probably a lot that goes into this, but I mean, if you had to encapsulate your views as a season 1 recap versus a cohort 4 recap, you know, what would be the change?
I think like an early awareness we had was, you know, if we zoom right out, we were thinking about social tokens in a very broad sense. So that would represent, you know, individual artists, you know, people, brands, sports teams, I mean, a whole host of things. And I think as we began really diving in, communities just became the obvious place where we believe long-term value would be created and captured. So this idea of multiple people coming together to create value in a many-to-many way, and to create something that is bigger than just the community itself. And I think you see this in the most successful, you know, DAOs and community tokens today. Look at FWB, you can look at Gitcoin, you can look at Bankless. All these folks have really leaned into building a community that are co-creating something bigger than they'd be able to create on, you know, by themselves or as individuals. So that's a fairly big shift. Two, I think, you know, there's a lot of, you know, we always had the thesis that tokens give communities superpowers. I think we were underestimating the sheer scale of what that would mean. And I think there's, you know, for the longest time, there was one way to go build a valuable startup, and that was to find a technology advantage and to press it. And I think what we're seeing now is that community is another advantage, and that there are new types of organizations that are going to be built with that insight in mind. And I think it's still really new to see what that looks like, but what we're seeing in our third and fourth cohorts, and I expect will be a continuing trend, is this line between those two being a lot smaller or more blurred, where people building or communities building products will be increasingly be the thing, rather than found a company, build a product, build a community around that product to help go to market. We'll see the founding of organizations and community be the genesis point for some of the more interesting products. I think you can see that around PartyDAO. I think the Bankless community is doing a bunch of stuff like that. You'll see that in the evolution of Seed Club itself, Kraushaus, CabinDAO, and the list goes on and on and on. So there's just this whole new angle, approach, path that builders can take now that I think is going to result in some really interesting things. Now, what that ultimate impact is, and I don't know, but I think it's a trend that we're seeing, and I think it's going to lead to a lot of value creation and some interesting jumping off points. And I guess the third thing is, you know, we continue to see that the importance of team and, you know, people being willing to step up and take responsibility for driving early actions as being key. And so while there might be this desire to have this broad community with, you know, people who are involved in multiple different DAOs and this sort of idea of emergent behavior being the thing that we're really, you know, leaning into or where ultimately the value in DAOs will sort of come from. I think what we're seeing is that's true only if there is a core group or people who are willing to step up and take that responsibility in the early days. And that's not to say that these aren't decentralized. That's not to say that these aren't community driven. What we're seeing is the most, you know, impactful DAOs have a number of people who are really committed to doing the hard work that's required to get any early stage thing off the ground. And so, you know, increasingly we're looking for teams that have that representative early in their DNA.
Jeez, man. No, it's a hell of a recap. And I guess one question that feeds into this, and it's a hard question because I don't always have a great answer to it either, but I mean, trying to figure out, you know, what projects can have viable tokens in the future and weighing that against like the idea and the focus of the project itself is sometimes hard, right? I mean, even, you know, with our venture fund, you know, sometimes we see fantastic ideas and, you know, we don't totally know what a token will completely fit in. I mean, we have a good idea, we have a concept and it's not a holdback, but I'd love to get your opinion here if this is something that plays into your view when you're mentoring cohort projects or if they're at the phase where they're applying. And this is being obviously decentralized away, right? Because club holders today, I mean, I just voted, are voting on who should make it into the new cohort as well. So kind of wondering how you gauge like this early for projects on if they really need a full thesis around a token at this stage.
Yeah, we don't believe they need to have a full thesis around a token at this stage. And I think we just need to be honest generally as a space that there's still a bunch of work to be done on token economics and models, et cetera. I think, you know, when we start looking at something like a community versus a DeFi protocol, I think we have a lot more leeway. You know, if you think PoolSuite, right? PoolSuite has 25 NFT holders. You know, there isn't a whole, there's token economics at play there in that there's a market for those NFTs. There's some utility to those NFTs. There's a strategy behind why and how we launched it. But ultimately the value of that organization is based, you know, on people believing in the future value of those NFTs or of the work that team is going to go do. And so at the core, that's not that much different from why there is value in a Friends with Benefits token, right? People will want to hold those tokens to get access to participation in the DAO. And so it's a very simple token mechanism, which is hold token, get access. If I want to be a member of this thing, I need to hold token to get access. I don't think that's the thing that's going to ultimately create, you know, the most value. I think we're going to see these communities bleed into DeFi protocols, I think, or take advantage of them. I think we're going to see them start to generate real revenue. Many are already. I think the token models are going to be co-opted by communities as we see them continue to be developed out in, you know, the more esoteric DeFi protocol space. But for right now, you know, when we're looking at projects, we want there to be, the core thing is we want there to be a token, right? So you're trying to represent access, membership, ownership in your community via a token. C Club, you know, wants to have a stake in those projects for leaning in and creating value. That's our model. There's a 3% contribution from projects that goes to the C Club treasury in exchange for participation in the accelerator. And so we want them to have a token, but the exact models, mechanics of that are things that we dive in and work alongside our projects on defining. And there's some really interesting ones emerging, ones that sort of blend the use of NFTs and ERC-20s or fungible tokens, ones that are sort of looking at, yeah, being very focused at generating revenue and others that are really focused on curation. And, you know, frankly, we're just at the earliest stages, I think, of this idea maze. And, we're in a position through our model that we're able to and benefit from working on so many different types of projects that ultimately, you know, our hope is that we get to learn faster than others and be able to apply those learnings to our next batch of projects faster than others. And that'll be sort of a sustaining advantage for us.
No, it totally is. I mean, as listeners could surmise, we're investors in you, and you mentioned PoolSuite, which I'm obviously a holder in, and the thesis was clear that you guys have the best brand to attract early builders, right? So it's interesting to see. I'd love to dive into an example. I'm not sure what project you want to take, so I'll leave it to you, but I'd love to kind of hear an illustrative example of, you know, how a project found Seed Club, the process for which, how they got involved, how they were granted entry, and then maybe, you know, how Seed Club helped them. And I know there's a lot to chew off here, and this will vary a lot project to project, but it would be really cool to kind of walk through an example of how Seed Club has helped a founder kind of realize their vision.
Yeah, I love this question, and I hate this question because literally it's impossible to choose from so many of the awesome projects that we've had to the opportunity to work with. But one that sticks out, because I think it's still kind of under the radar, and I don't think it will be under the radar for very long, and also it's one of the projects we backed very early on, is the Jump community. So Jeff Kaufman came to us in our SCO2 cohort and said, "Hey, I think marketers are going to be a big community in Web3. I want to go build the community for marketers in Web3. And I don't know what that's going to look like. I know I can get them on board." He had a big background in that space, knew a bunch of people. And we were like, "Heck yes, that sounds really interesting." And so over, you know, Jeff came in on our second cohort. You know, he's a Dallas-based guy, had the cowboy hat on. I made a lot of beard jokes and hat jokes often. But really, we just sort of dove into, at the time, which is, you know, SCO2 is the beginning of 2021. There's still, like, Mirror really hadn't rolled out. There's so many of these tools that we use now on a regular basis that just really weren't there. And so what I watched Jeff do was just dive in incredibly deeply. You know, he engaged with our broader collaborator network to start mapping out what the right starting point would be for him. He started building his community, which quickly led to having contributors join, and there to be tens and then hundreds, and, you know, I think pushing over 1,000 people now. They had a Morning Brew article recently that just kind of exploded the number of applications that came in. You know, I think there was still a tension around, should there be a token right away or should a token be delayed? And he decided that he should wait to build the community before introducing a token. And he did that. And so, you know, now there's this community that gets onboarded with a lot of care and attention. They get onboarded through a really interesting process that puts them in contact with other potential community members. So they have this immediate value add. It's, you know, they're attracting this like interested individuals. They have a token, but the token isn't trading. That's another strategy that we rolled out. Whereas, you know, the bull market kind of picked up through early 2021, and a lot of our teams were really concerned of launching a token and having it just picked up in the speculative buzz rather than it being used to generate utility and value for their community. And so the Jump team decided to launch a token, but for it to be launched in a very small way and to mostly be used for tipping culture. So they have a big tipping culture within the Jump community. And sort of just through that organic growth, they saw hundreds upon hundreds of new members joining, folks from every major ad agency, from most major brands, from media, and these working groups that emerge, and now there's products being built and research reports being built and there's local chapters, and this thing just built momentum over time. And I think what it really demonstrated for us is that, you know, having a very clear category, having a strong leader, and then taking your time and building deep roots of value within a community is going to create this foundation that will allow that community to have massive impact in the future. And I think what you'll see is that Jump will be the nexus point for some really interesting products, tools that marketers will use to step into Web3. And some people might push back on the idea of marketers coming into Web3, but, you know, the reality is, as Jeff put it to me, like, there's billions of dollars worth of ad buying that, for, you know, Facebook and social media have convinced these young advertising folks that they'd be able to make creative content and build direct relationships with their fans. And quickly that turned into just buying ads on Facebook. And so there's a ton of talent out there that's looking to do really interesting things, that wants to create tighter relationships between their organizations and their consumers. And so there's like a lot of interesting opportunity here. So, you know, Jeff is still, and that team is still very much in the early stages. They do not have liquidity for the token. They're not pushing that hard, but their community has grown exponentially over the last few months. And I think in the next little while, there will be other ways for people to participate, to get access, to be a part of the community, and to, you know, be owners and members and governors of that project. So I like using Jump because it's going to be a big thing. Most people haven't heard about it right now. And Jeff is probably, I mean, I guess to finish off the story, Jeff is not only running Jump, but he's been a very active contributor in C Club. So it kind of represents like the full cycle where he's learned, felt the pain points acutely himself, solved a lot of those problems, and is now very involved on our accelerator working group, runs our Monday sessions for our learning and alumni learning huddles, and is just like a huge supporter of the next round of projects. And so we start to see more and more of those types of contributors coming through Seed Club. It just gets me really excited about the value we're going to create.
No, that's a great example, Jess. I mean, it's crazy you bring up a project from cohort two, right? I mean, I feel like the Web3 tooling that we all need is like now rolling out that was previously funded or is just getting funded now. So it's crazy to think that they'd be ready to go and all power to them. So that makes a lot of sense. I guess a different question for you to bring this back to Seed Club is, Seed Club has a pretty grand vision of connecting the world's talent to these projects, right? Would there be a difference if Jump came to, let's say, cohort 10 for Seed Club instead of cohort 2? And obviously you're at 4 now, so I'm thinking in the future, but like, how would Seed Club interact with Jump in the future versus how it did in the past?
Yeah, so I think there's maybe two ways to answer that. One, I think we've seen just the volume and stage change quite a bit as we've gone into further cohorts. So volume meaning we, you know, there's 220 or so applicants to this last cohort that we're choosing from right now, which just makes it harder to choose. We're seeing projects be generally a bit further along. So, you know, we probably would have told Jeff to go back and build some momentum before applying for the next cohort. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because we're very stoked in the work they're doing there. So that's one thing. And two, I think really just the scale, right? So the big question is, how do we scale our ability to continue to create exceptional value for the projects we work with? Because, you know, the accelerator is the focus and it's 8 weeks that people come through, but that's really just the starting point. And as you can probably tell from my story about Jeff there, like, it's often a number of months before we even helped put a token out. And then there's still a long period of time before we really think that Jump will be like as valuable as we believe it will be. So I think really what we're focused on right now is continuing to grow our collaborator network. These are folks, you know, like yourself, who have been early supporters of C Club, that we are able to bring in much tighter relationships with our projects through both our accelerator and through some ongoing working groups to really support the early growth of these projects. We're also very active in growing our broader working groups. And if you imagine in, you know, traditional venture funds, they would have a talent partner and a growth partner and these sort of smaller teams that might be supporting projects. You know, we think we're in a great position to roll out sub DAOs or sub working groups, however you want to look at them, that can support the growth of our projects moving forward. So we have a research working group. We have a growth working group. We also have some folks working on a legal working group, alongside our regular operations stuff, that are really more focused on supporting our projects. So I think, you know, a Jump coming in our 10th cohort is just going to tap into just a much bigger, more powerful, more valuable network that has a lot more formal ways for our community to lean in and support the growth of these projects. Because ultimately, as I said earlier, our goal is to bring in great people and great projects. Both of those are going to expand, right? So we're going to continue to grow a big crowd of great projects and a great crowd of great people who can support those projects. And I think that's the hard work for us to do right now, is figuring out how to do that well and how to keep the quality bar high and how to make sure it's emergent and accessible and that those interactions are valuable and that we take as much friction out of that as possible. But I think it's very doable and work we're excited to do.
Yeah, no, I'm seriously excited too, man, as is everyone within Delphi. I guess another question for you on this topic is, when creators or founders come to you and, you know, maybe they're coming to you with Web2 backgrounds, or they're coming to you without a ton of crypto knowledge, or maybe they are, what is like the core tenets that Web3 offers them in your mind that they aren't able to get in Web2? Like, is it just the idea of ownership and like financial upside, or, you know, kind of spell out like the superpowers you described, like this whole community ownership idea, like what exactly does that mean for all these founders?
Yeah, I think it's helpful to zoom out a little bit and think about what, so I'll illustrate this maybe with an example. A project that came through our third cohort is Tiny Mixtapes. Tiny Mixtapes, for those of you that are listening that are big into music, was a music blog run by, Marv and friends. Marv's a wonderful human being. Shout out, Marv, who over 20 years built a huge audience of, discovering and sharing really amazing independent music and was core tastemaker in the space. But 2 years ago, they shut down because guess what? There's no business model in creating content for other platforms where you're not, the advertising revenue, what maybe wasn't generating enough value. Subscription maybe didn't make sense given, where they needed to go. Those two tools didn't quite allow them to build an enduring business in the way that they had wanted to. And so they shut down. And then Marv fell down the Web3 rabbit hole, and Tiny Mixtape is, in the process of being reborn, community ownership or like Web3 tools kind of being at the core. And, what was so wonderful about that announcement was that there was a lot of, these are a lot of folks that are really excited about it, skeptical because there's, a fair amount of skepticism related to NFTs and Web3. And I think that's fair given the broader market. But what I'm so excited about with Marv and Tiny Mixtapes is there's an opportunity to really show the true value of Web3, which is to say, hey, there's creators who are creating extremely valuable content and that people, there's a community, people want to be a part of it. They miss it when it's gone. They are excited when it comes back. And that instead of, all the value they're creating going to the Facebooks or Instagrams or whatever of the world, Marv is excited to see how they can actually pull and represent that value back in the hands of people who are actually creating content, creating those vibes, that value within Tiny Mixtapes. So, we don't exactly know what that's going to look like. And, I think traditionally within our organizations, you'll see, NFT drops representing early membership. You'll see seasons rolled out so that there's sort of focuses and exploration and experimentation. People are going to be rewarded for their work and effort through probably earning a greater share of voice or membership stake in these communities. But really it's just like direct tie-in between creator and fan and having that be represented on chain in some way. That seems to be the biggest unlock. So whether that's just purely, direct to fan revenue or that we're able to actually, distribute tokens and start to build a network value that can be used to, invest in content or the growth of that community, all the way through to, I think, some more, edge case interesting experiences where they might be a part of, promoting shows, or you can imagine holding your, in FWB's case, you're holding FWB tokens to be able to get access to a venue or to a show. I think we'll see something like that in these sort of new publishing models that are emerging. So ownership, I think, is embedded in that you're able to recognize the work that, say, you or somebody else creates on that platform with tokens. But the layer on top of it, I think, is that there are new revenue sources that can actually drive real enduring value into these communities. And that mixture of on-chain revenue and ownership will be the real unlock for many of them.
That's huge, man. And I guess, they're not a niche community per se, but I mean, there's a lot of niche communities out there that cater to a specific group of people, but have trouble staying afloat because, what are you going to do? Charge ad revenue to 1,000 or 10,000 people, right? It doesn't pay the bills. But, nowadays through community ownership, people who have an interest can find others with that interest and they could, own something and fund something and be a part of it in a different way, right? So I guess, would you agree or disagree that this whole Web3 community-centric approach allows people with these niche communities to actually have something sustainable and not do all of this stuff as a side hobby? Or maybe I'm not thinking big enough.
Yeah, I think it's probably that and more, but I think it's important just to recognize that there's still a lot of experimentation being done there. So we don't know exactly where that's going to pan out. I think without a doubt, these niche communities have a new, a new lease on life or a new avenue to pursue. And at the core of the idea that you can create something that has a network value, sort of a value to the community or to the network through there just being a bunch of early engaged support of people who want to hold on to tokens, I think is a powerful thing, right? So whether that's NFTs or those are fungible tokens, if you have 10,000 people that want to each hold on to one token and not willing to sell. Like there's value for that membership, and that value can be put to work in new and interesting ways. So that's one thing. And then two, you know, as we see more of these tools emerge that allow these communities to, right, either crowdfund or to sell collectibles or to sell access or to sell seasons passes, new revenue sources start to emerge. And it's, I think, the intersection between that those on-chain revenue opportunities and this idea of being able to, I mean, it's a simple mechanism. You're essentially, if you are a pool suite token holder, you are essentially staking your token and creating network value, right? The fact that you are just not selling is a valuable signal that's creating some value for the community as a whole. That alone is powerful. Now, I don't think that's enough to create a long-lasting, valuable community necessarily, but it is a great starting point. And I think it's what's going to give a number of these niche communities a whole lot of new resources and opportunities to bring people together and bring capital together to go create that next level thing. So, you know, I think if we look at Tiny Mixtape, or we look at Pool Suite, or we look at Seed Club, really what we're doing right now is getting ourselves in a position to take some big swings on creating something of value, of more value than what we've created today. And I think that's really where the question mark lies, is like, well, what is that? You know, I think we have some early insights on it. We're seeing a number of projects push at it. Probably involves a mixture of different approaches. But I think it goes back to like that initial insight we had of why communities are going to be so valuable in the space rather than just, you know, generic social tokens around individuals. It's because the true value, or the long-term large value, will be created through the innovation that comes out of these communities rather than just like any templates that are being, you know, ran and repeated across multiple communities.
No, totally, man. And I mean, to take the total other side of my question, there's some projects that are biting off a lot, right? Like Krause House is sick. They're trying to buy a basketball team. My partner Kevin is going to host them soon on an episode in the series, so I'm excited for that. But they're also incubated through Seed Club. Walk us through a little bit of the focus there, because that seems like a huge undertaking.
The focus, yeah. So shout out to those guys. I mean, incredible community. I had a conversation with them early on, and I was like, what are you trying to do? And I was just like, this makes no sense. Because I think my early beliefs was that momentum was the thing to really build. And so, you know, what we did really well early on at Seed Club was we just built momentum. We shipped things, we did things. It really just started, momentum builds more momentum. And that was so my fear with Krause House was that, like, well, how are you guys going to get momentum towards this big goal? Like, their stated goal is to buy and operate an NBA sports franchise. You know, it's a big goal. But what I learned from working with them is just the power, and it's actually embedded in how we think about projects to this date, which is, you know, the most successful DAOs have a big adventure, and that adventure is compelling, and it's full of risk, and it's unlikely to work, but it's worthwhile working towards. And I think so many of our the most compelling projects that we've worked with have a really big adventure in one way or another. And so, you know, I think there's just so much value in that. Now, just an adventure isn't going to be, you know, enough. And so I think what's interesting, I'm sure when Kevin talks to the team, they'll start to see this. Really what they're focused on is, they're like, yeah, this is a big, crazy thing, but we're going to get there. But just think about all the challenges that exist before we can even think about getting there. Well, we're going to go solve those. The team is a product team. They've built successful startups before. You know, they're building a number of tools right now. So for us, it was like really big adventure, an incredible community that they had already built, an amazing founding team that sort of has a bunch of product chops. And it's a fairly safe bet that they're going to, you know, according to the thesis I outlined earlier, this idea that, you know, community is an advantage that can be pressed. That community is going to build some really interesting tools. And it's going to be at this intersection of like IRL and sports and like figuring out what the right level of community involvement is to make some of these decisions. And there's also going to be a lot of legal questions or conversations that they need to have to push forward. So there's just so much room. So there's so many problems that come up from trying to solve or to achieve that big vision. And we just look at those problems as being huge opportunities, because frankly, I don't think anybody's ever tried to go buy and operate an NBA sports franchise as an NBA team or as a DAO, and kind of impossible not to see there being some exciting, you know, insights and value created from that.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I mean, I could see why you were taken back when you first talked to them, but I mean, the opportunity would be massive, right? And I mean, you mentioned that there's a lot of roadblocks to, I mean, achieving that goal, but I think there's a lot of technical roadblocks right now for every Web3 project, right? I mean, like, we don't really have the tooling we need, you know, so far. I feel like people are just band-aiding together, like Snapshot and Gnosis and some tools. But I guess if you had to, like, make a request for, you know, applications or something that the teams within C Club or C Club itself would use, like, what would you say is missing from the Web3 space right now?
Yeah, I mean, we're lucky to have an opportunity to work with amazing builders, you know, outside of C Club itself through some of the more venture side of the work that we do. And so we're seeing a lot of tools that are being built. I think, so maybe to answer in a general way, like, I love the fact that we're able to duct tape various tools together. The Lego blocks that are being built right now, I think, is very much the right approach to take to building tools for these communities. If we zoom way out, you know, I got into DAOs in 2019, you know, DAOstack and Argon were the big platforms. And, you know, Colony was still in development at that time. But they had really strong opinions on the types of organizations you can go build. And it didn't really work, or at least it didn't allow for the flexibility for some of the teams to really lean in and build and evolve as the market evolved. And so what we saw, you know, I think as we started pushing with C Club is that there's a number of tools that we could bring together, the composability of the Web3 space being a big strength, that would allow us to, you know, to move forward, to build momentum, but also to not be locked in and to be able to sort of be nimble enough to evolve with whatever, you know, the next evolving piece of the governance stack would look like, or, you know, the DeFi or treasury management stack, et cetera. So, you know, I think across the board, there are improvements that need to be made. You know, the UX and everything from your multi-sig to voting is not great. I think, you know, onboarding is a challenge, maybe not in the way that most people think, in that it's not just about surfacing information and trying to get as many people in, but it's really more of like a matching challenge. How do we identify issues within organizations and find talent that can match with them and compensate them appropriately for doing that work? Big questions. There's, you know, any number of challenges around managing a treasury. There's a whole lot of challenges around, like, how do you actually generate revenue on chain into these organizations in a sustainable way? All of those, there are great projects that are building. There are tools that exist today, so we can actually continue to build. And, you know, our approach from day one has been to be pragmatic and to try to build that momentum and to not need to have a perfect answer to be able to get building, because the further we get down a path, the more insight and info we'll have, and the better we'll be able to be at solving some of those challenges. So I think what isn't the right step is to try to go build, you know, the Shopify of DAOs or the all-in-one DAO tooling stack. I think there's just too much variety or innovation that's still to come in the space to lock anybody into any one thing. You know, when we're talking to teams, we're really encouraging them to ensure that they are the center of the universe and that they're pulling tools into them rather than them having to build on other platforms. And so I expect that, you know, projects that continue to build those pieces that really add specific superpowers, you know, the Gnosis Save is a huge superpower. AMM's huge superpower. Token Gated Access, huge superpower. You know, those are obviously some very foundational ones, but, you know, we can step into treasury management. We can step into token launches. We can step into like novel NFT releases. They're able to pull those tools into them. It's going to reduce the risk of being locked into any one platform, and it's going to allow them to be flexible enough to evolve with the space, as I'm very certain that the business models these organizations are running today will not look the same in 5 years.
That's awesome, man. I love your take on superpowers and, you know, pushing your projects to be kind of the center of their world, right? Because it means that they could actually build in the right way. One other question, Jess, just project specific. I just love the Pool Suite project, right? I mean, disclosure, I'm an NFT holder there, but I mean, Marty and the team have just nailed that brand, right? Like, when you go to Pool Suite, you feel transported back in time, right? But on the other side, like, they're adding, like, you know, your Pool Suite card to your Apple Wallet. So they're like leading on the tech side as a medium to contact their holders. What's the process like working with Pool Suite been? Like, I mean, this is a project I think a lot of people know. And I don't know if they know that, you know, Pool Suite plays a key role, or sorry, if C Club plays a key role here, because you guys do. But walk us through a little bit of the history there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm came across Pool Suite probably 7 years ago when they launched. If you go 7 years back, everything was a social media product, and Marty and team put out this website that was had amazing, I mean, they call it an ultra leisure brand. So there's amazing design, but really didn't do anything. It looks like an old Apple screen from back in the day. Had a playlist, and it was kind of just like a bit of a thumbing the nose at the current narratives. And over the last 7 years, it's just been an incredible community built there, not in the traditional sense in Web3 where you have a Discord, et cetera, but just people who appreciate, fine craftsmanship of, digital goods, essentially. And so Marty and I were trying to figure out what the initial contact point was. I think he reached out earlier last year. And I think somebody who cares so much about their community and about their art, and he's a creator like through and through, he just wants to make cool stuff. Early on in 2021, there's a lot of risk, and there still is. Like when we work with teams, like the last thing I try to do out of the gate is be like, yo, you should launch a token, right? What we spent a lot of time with Marty was just outlining the challenges and the opportunities and the risks, and really making him feel comfortable around the landscape that he could step into. And so through that, building that relationship and just bouncing ideas off each other for a long period of time, we sort of decided to work together. So he became one of our studio projects at C Club and really helped to define that new interesting model for us. And then we worked really closely over a number of months in outlining a very big game plan. One small part of which is the executive member drop that we did at the end of last year that did roughly $2 million worth of sales in about half an hour. And I'm still kicking myself for only buying one. Can you imagine it? I had all the alpha, Tom, and I only bought one. But I'm glad there are so many diverse holders. Yeah, you give me a hard time about that.
Another conversation.
Yeah, but I think the reason why we haven't been super public about our work with Pool Suite, not that we're hiding it or anything like that, it's just still super early. Like the vision that we have for that project is massive. The vision that Marty has for that is even bigger than the vision that I can even hold in my head, and I got a big head. And it's incredible to see like what he messaged me. I mean, we're obviously on a Telegram as the drop was happening. He's like, 7 years, Pool Suite has made no money. Look what we've done. Imagine what we're going to do with $2 million.
Same. Overnight. Yeah, overnight. Like, I mean, boom, he could dedicate all his time and resources now.
Not only that, he's got this crew of builders and designers who've just kind of been working piecemeal, and he's stuck things together. And now he's formalizing a team. And there's going to be a time where we're going to be able to share more about Pool Suite, and I'm excited to do that. And hopefully we can get him on here so you guys can have that conversation. But just knowing the things that are on that he's working towards, are just really exciting. And I think what he's done so well is not try to fall into like the when roadmap, here's my roadmap trap. There is no Discord. There's no Telegram. There's no place for NFT degens to come together and just be degeneracy lovers together. This is really going to be about shipping small and big things that really drive utility and push the edges of what I think a community token or social token would look like. You talked about the NFC. The first NFT to be, easily displayed in your Apple wallet and to have NFC functionality. So you can imagine being able to access, certain products or areas, et cetera, by just tapping your phone and having that tied to, so essentially token gated access, but into your wallet. It's a big thing. A lot of projects are interested in, but again, that's just like one of the many things that they're working towards. So, when we work with Marty, we're trying to help somebody who has a very creative vision, bring a project together that is cohesive and makes sense and, creates the type of value that he wants to create with it. And also can be supported by a broader group of human beings to help him get to that next level. And I think that's really what we've done a good job at, is both supporting him from going from zero to one, and then making sure he understands that we're, going to be diamond hand holders of whatever we get to co-create here. And the resources of C Club are at his disposal to make sure that Pool Suite is just a defining project of Web3, frankly.
No, that's huge, Jess. It's cool to go through a couple of these examples, like whether it be Pool Suite or Jump or Krause House, because like you're so close to these projects that are so cutting edge. And I don't know if people get this level of access to you to kind of learn about, how you work with them, what you're seeing. So this is incredible. And I guess zooming back out, like as we close the episode out, C Club itself has a grand vision, right? Like, you want to help hundreds, if not thousands, of projects over the next couple of years. You want to attract, again, hundreds or thousands of mentors who all want to help these projects. And obviously you do, and you want to scale this. But, you know, what exactly does that mean? Like, what does that look like? Like, if I'm a mentor and I want to come help a project, am I just like thrown into a Discord, or, you know, am I like a strategy guy and I help these types of projects? Like, how do you envision like Seed Club itself scaling to achieve its goal of helping all of these founders?
Yeah. You know, we want Seed Club to be in the same way that we want our projects to help define new categories. We want Seed Club to be a defining example of you know, how a community can use tokens to really create a lot of value in the world. And so for us, that is helping to back and launch really exciting community based token projects. And so we have a very clear focus. You know, our job isn't to come in and hang out in Discord. It isn't the best place for the most recent news. So there's some of that. This is the place, you know, our work is really focused on developing a model that can really create exceptional value for them, for, you know, exceptional projects. And yeah, scaling that is our challenge. So how do we become a shining light, an example of how we can coordinate, you know, ever-growing groups of people to create value, not in like a wisdom of the crowds type way, but really in like a, you know, early stage projects don't need 1,000 people giving, you know, thumbs up or thumbs down on something on Discord. They need 2, 3, 5 people that have real specific domain knowledge that can help them get to that next level. So, you know, as we continue to push, you know, through our organizational challenges and opportunities, a core focus we have is on that talent matching piece. So if you're a mentor today, you'll be brought into C Club if it's your first time. So our mentors, we call collaborators. These are a subset of our community that has an opportunity to work with our early stage projects through our accelerators, and also has an opportunity to earn club tokens for the work they're doing in the cohort. If it is your first time being a collaborator, you will be part of a small team, including somebody who's been through one or two before, and will be sort of paired up with a handful, like 1, 3, somewhere in their teams. And it'll be your job to lean in and help support them. We do our best to make sure we're matching needs with those collaborators. What we're seeing is people who have been builders in the past, entrepreneurs, strategists that have had success in their career in certain ways. You know, they're just so eager and able to lean in and support across so many different verticals, that small sort of focus group attention on a small focus group of projects is, you know, a promising way for us to organize ourselves. That's where we're at today. You know, is that going to allow us to scale to 10,000 collaborators? Probably not. But I think one of the things we've done really well is continue to have an eye on the bigger picture, but also build momentum and be pragmatic about solving the challenges that exist today. So I expect there'll be more tools and tech that we'll need to build to make those matches. You know, I expect that we're going to continue to need to be great curators of projects so that we're not trying to grow our community by tens of thousands of projects by any means. Like, this, there's still a market quality here. And, you know, we want to make sure that we're delivering a ton of value to these, to our founders that we're working with. But I think, you know, if we zoom out 10 years, really, for us to be successful, we need to be really great talent matchers. And you know, potentially even more importantly, we need to help support those projects through the rest of their life cycle as well. And, you know, that's an introduction to funding partners, to, you know, new talent and contributors, to support, distribution, et cetera. And, you know, we have really great initiatives that are touching on all that sort of stuff right now. And I think the power of an organization like Seed Club is that, I mean, guess what happens when you bring real smart people around the table? They want to go do stuff. We can resource those people to go do stuff. And all of a sudden we're able to deliver at a volume that I think is, I mean, it breaks my brain sometimes. And I feel like we're just getting started. The number of initiatives and working groups, and we'll pop into our Discord and there'll be a conversation going on with 15, 20 people that I didn't even know was happening. And, you know, the excitement that builds inside my heart when I see that is just, it's really hard to explain. So that's the vision, under no illusions about the difficulty of getting there. Like, that's why we just continue to bring in smart people who are, you know, authentically want to grow the space and can honestly, you know, address the challenges. And, I hope we get to be like realists as well. Like, we sort of bridge this line between being like hopelessly optimistic, which I think is the necessary stance to take if you're backing any early stage projects, period. And also want to make sure we're being good stewards and being realistic and, you know, articulating both the opportunities and challenges to the broader community and especially to our teams. Because, you know, I don't think there's anything here that's not solvable. It's just that we need to, you know, earnestly address it.
Jess, you have a hell of a vision, man. And I have no doubt that you will be the one to make this a reality. And just shout out to you and Nicole and Ben and your entire team for helping so many projects at such an early stage in their life cycle in a not extractive and an actually helpful way, which I think is really important for the space. So Jess, we're so amped to have you on the Web3 series, man. We're glad to back you. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
Tom, appreciate you giving us the space. And, you know, I've said this to you privately, I'll say it to you publicly here. You've been one of the biggest supporters, far greater than I probably would have expected day one. So I appreciate all the effort you've put into helping us get to where we are today, and can't wait to continue building with you.
Means a lot, my dude. Really excited for it. Let's do it.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Delphi podcast. If you enjoyed it, please support the show by hitting subscribe on your podcast app, writing a review, or sharing this episode on Twitter or LinkedIn. Stay tuned for our next episode, out soon.